For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open our eyes, spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. Praise God. Let's begin with prayer. We praise you, Lord, and thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for opening up the things of God to us. Lord, we ask this morning that you once again open up the things that are precious to you, that we might also deem them as precious. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. This morning, we're looking at the Word of God in our heart, part two. You may remember we went through how we cannot be people that are conformed to the world. We cannot be people that are living a life apart from God or thinking that we can be heeding the ways of the world and not putting the word into our heart and in line with our lives. In other words, our lives coming into line with the word of God. So today we're looking at the Word of God in our heart, part two. We saw that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We need to put the Word into our hearts, and that's a very important thing. Let's have a look at Romans 15, verses 1 to 7. We got up to here last time, Romans 15. We'll look at verses 1 to 7 here. The Lord is speaking to us. He's speaking to us about joining up fully with his plans and his will. And we see here that we must be people that have one mind and one mouth about what the Lord wants to do. And he's got great things that he wants to do in this city and in this nation. Romans 15, start from verse 1. Now remember what I said last time. I said that those that are more grown up in the Lord, they're not just thinking about themselves. They're not just thinking about, oh, I'll fellowship over here because that'll tickle my ears and that will feed my fleshly desire for entertainment. They're not thinking that way. Well, the way they are thinking is, what do you want? What is your will for me, Lord? And I want to get in line with that. And so we see in Romans 15 a look into how people that are more grown up in the Lord would behave. Verse 1 says, we then that are strong in what? Well, strong in the Lord, strong in faith, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. Now clearly, this means that we're not going to be concentrating on our things, but on the things of the Lord. And looking at wanting to see others edified and strengthened and built up and so on. Very important, isn't it? And verse 3 says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So he is your great shepherd, the good shepherd. We are his sheep. We hear him. We go forward. We follow him. And he is our example of how to walk by faith, how to listen to the Lord, and so on. And predominantly it's saying here that we should be like him in that he didn't please himself. What was he doing? He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, the Father. That should be our way of looking at it too. We must look at doing things in line with the will of God, the way we approach things. So verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we see that there is a whole treasury of good things in the Scripture that can show us, as it says there, were written for our learning, can teach us, can show us how to live for the Lord. How to say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And to see victory manifested not only in our own lives, but also in the body of Christ. And there has to be a great amount of victory manifested in the body of Christ. Because at the moment we see many people that are deviating out of the will of God. And therefore, by doing that, they disconnect from God's power and victory and blessing. So let me repeat verse 4 because it's very important, and we should be, for example, looking in the Old Testament and seeing all types of things that are very relevant for us today. We'll look at a section later on ourselves. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So we see that there has to be a like-mindedness. Now, God pointed us to the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also pointed us to the Scriptures that were written for our learning. Now, Paul at that time, he had the Old Testament Scriptures. We have both the New Testament and the Old Testament for our learning. Praise the Lord. And God is pointing us to these areas, to the example of Jesus, to the Word of God that's written down. And he's saying, this is the way you can be like-minded one toward another. Okay? According to Christ Jesus. This is the way you can have one mind and one mouth to glorify God. So, we all have the same Bible, yes? We all have the same Bible. If you have the Word of God and you hold to the Word of God, now it is your responsibility to get that word into you, because that reveals the perfect will of God. If we look at Colossians chapter 1, we'll just have a quick look at this scripture in Colossians 1, because this reveals God's will for us, that we must have in our heart the Word of God that has revealed to us very clearly what God wants for our lives whilst we're on the earth, what he wants us to be doing, how he wants us to be. And notice what it says in verse 9 and 10. We'll just go verse 9 and 10 of Colossians 1. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. He's not just thinking about himself, is he? He's praying for others. You should be praying for others as well. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This comes through the Word of God. To be filled with the knowledge of his will. To be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, it's not a matter of do we have access to the knowledge of God's will. We do. The Word of God is available. It's available on the internet. It's available on CD. It's available in churches where the Word is preached. It's available. You've got the Bible everywhere. It is available. So what's the problem? Why does it seem as though the church as a whole is not having any impact on the nation of Australia, for example? Why does it seem that way? Well, for a start, we must have that hope of God. In other words, we look into the Scripture, we see that things are going to change. The thing is that it has to change starting from us as individuals and as a church, And it grows that way. If you heard on Tuesday, which I was talking about, the kingdom of God is likened unto sowing seed and increasing. Well, we have to be people that are sowing. We have to be people that are doing the right things. And in this case, we see that we have to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then he talks about that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So it's not a matter of is God's word or knowledge available. It is available. It's available everywhere. It's a matter of are people willing to put God's knowledge into them, to get into the word of God, to put priority on being filled with the knowledge of his will. Are they willing for that to happen? Because if they're not willing, then there's going to be a disconnect. Now we can see that, for example, in Psalm 110 verse 3. Let's have a look at that. Psalm 110 verse 3. We'll just look at the first part of that. Psalm 110 verse 3. We read here, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. God's people shall be willing in the day of God's power. Can you see that there's a connection between us being willing to get God's word into our heart, willing to go God's way, willing to know his will, and God's power being manifested? There is a connection. There is a connection. God can do more with a few that are willing than he can with thousands that are unwilling or are in it just for themselves, to please themselves. Can you see what I'm saying? So God doesn't want us to be people that are wanting to please ourselves, but to be willing to do what he wants, willing to do his will. There has to be that willingness. See, God loves a cheerful heart. He loves a willing person. He is looking for men and women who are humbling themselves before him. That means they're saying, not my will, but your will be done. They're willing to do what he wants. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. There is a connection between willingness and God's power. There is a connection. And we have to see this connection. If we don't understand or see this connection, then we are going to be people that are disconnected from God's power because we're not being willing. Willing means you say the word of God must be at the top level in my life so that I can grow in the knowledge of God, be filled with the knowledge of his will. You see, if you don't know the word of God, you won't be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Let's have a look at a few more scriptures. Have a look at John chapter 7 verses 14 to 17. John 7, 14 to 17. We see this in this scripture that we have to align our will with God's will. In John 7, starting from verse 14. And it says here, now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marvelled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Verse 17, a key one for us. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So here we see that Jesus is pointing to the doctrine of the Father. That is the, and doctrine is more than just teaching. It's teaching that is revealed and shown to you, so that you will put it into your, it's in your heart, and you're able to go forward in it. You see, it's easy to show, well, this is such and such a doctrine to someone, but they have to believe that. They have to put that into their heart. They have to be, as it says there, will to do God's will. If you will to do God's will, you shall know of the doctrine. Can you see that there is a connection between willing to do God's will and knowing the doctrine of God, the proper teaching of God? If you're not willing to do God's will, you'll be so disconnected. You won't know, for example, how to walk by faith. You won't know anything about being filled with the Spirit. You won't know anything about how to please the Lord properly. But you have to make a decision. I decide to be willing. I decide to be willing to do your will, Lord. And God gives you the promise that you shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. In other words, you'll know what's the right thing. You'll know the right doctrine. The Bible talks about being nourished in the words of faith and good doctrine. You'll be nourished in God. You'll be strengthened. You'll get that faith which cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you've got to be willing. Will to do his will. Will to do his will. I will to do the will of God. I will to do the will of God. So then you become a person who's not just out to please themselves, but you're out to please your brother and sister and please others in the Lord, and to help and to go forward in the Lord further than what you've ever been. If you look at John 8, just go a little bit further over, John 8, 31 and 32 there. John 8, 31 and 32, we've heard this many times before, but now think about knowledge, the knowledge of God's will. You're willing to do his will. Think about that. You might say, well, why isn't such and such able to connect with the power of God? It might be because they're not willing to do God's will. They might be blaming everything else. They might not be willing to get the wrong things out and the right things in. Is there a connection there? Well, if you are willing to do God's will, you're willing to continue in God's word. Notice what it says in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know, shall make you free. Are you willing? Are you willing to put the word of God in its right place? There is so much access to it. So it's not a matter of, is the word of God available? It is available everywhere. But the Bible tells us there's a famine of hearing. And the hearing, which could produce faith in people, there's a famine of that. There's a famine of that because everything else is put in the way of the word of God. But you have to be willing. Willing. I will to do his will. Willing. And in the day of God's power, God's people are willing. There is a day of power for you, but you've got to be willing. Will to do his will. Connect to a knowledge of the doctrine, because you'll know the doctrine of God if you're willing. And if you continue in the word of God, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A fundamental thing. Absolutely fundamental. Not just a head knowledge. Oh yes, I know the Bible's
true.
No, it's a willing heart attitude of putting the word in its right place and saying, Lord, what you say is top priority. Jesus said to build your house upon the rock, and he said the rock was his sayings, his words. Build your house. Build everything you do on the word of God. And we've emphasized that over and over. That's why Jesus said, continue in my word. Not just a person who is one day is looking at trying to do the word of God, the next day it's completely forgotten. No, it must be a continuing thing. Continuing thing. Look at John 12. John 12, verses 46 to 48. John 12, 46 to 48. Now, this is Jesus speaking. He said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. Okay, so what's his will for you? That you don't abide in darkness. What are people in darkness like? They don't know the way. They don't know things. They can't see. Does God want you to be like that? No, he wants you to know. He wants you to be able to see. He doesn't want you in the dark, does he? Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Verse 47, and if any man, what? Hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Well, that also says to us that the word of God that Jesus spoke will also be available in the last day. Okay? Not lost, available in the last day. Notice what it says. There are people that reject him. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. So rejecting the Lord is also equivalent to not receiving his words. You don't want that in your life because you become disconnected to the blessing. Hath one that judgeth him. Now what's judging? The word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. The same shall judge him in the last day. So, we want to be a people that hears the words of God. We have ears to hear and eyes to see. But you know, if you go into that scripture, it talks about that people have willingly closed their ears and willingly closed their eyes. Now, can you willingly open your ears and willingly open your eyes? I believe so. You can will to do God's will. You can say, I am willing, Lord, and make a decision to be willing. And when you make that decision to be willing, your actions change in line with that. Your actions change in line with that. So you put the word of God in its right place. You're not, okay, I'm coming to church, that's fine. But when you go outside, your life is completely different from the word of God. No, it has to be you're filled with a knowledge of God's word, knowledge of God's will, and have that spiritual understanding. You see, we must be people that receive of the word of God, not reject it. Now, we're in time, as I said before, we're in a time where there's a famine, a great famine, that famine of hearing. And many of the people of God are, and I mentioned it the other day, God has given many abilities in them, but they're not willing to do anything, or not willing to lift hardly a finger to help. God wants his people to be willing so that he can do great things through his people on the earth, through the body of Christ. That's his great desire. He wants Jesus to be exalted. He wants Jesus to be shown as the light. His people have to be willing. I want to do your will, Lord. I don't want to please myself. I want to be like Jesus, who came and he didn't please himself. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Have a look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Remember, this was written for our learning. So we're going to go back and have a look at this section of scripture for our learning. So don't just say, well, in the context of them back there. That's for them back there. No, it's for us as well. Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah 2, 4 to 13. Jeremiah chapter 2, 4 to 13. Now, let your heart be open. Let your heart be open about these things. Very important for our hearts to be open. The Holy Ghost is saying things to us. He's saying things to this church. He's saying that he can do, with just a few people, great things, far greater things than even many people that aren't willing or are just in things for their own self to please themselves. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of that around. I just want to please myself. I'll go do that or go there because I want to please myself. They might not use those words, but that's really what it comes down to. We have to be people that hear the word of God. Starting from verse 4, and we're going to verse 13. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and have become vain? Now, vanity talks of being useless, not useful. Okay? If people follow after vain things, there's a uselessness attached to that. It accomplishes nothing for the kingdom of God. Verse 6, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through and where no man dwelt. So this is what they're saying. They might be saying it within their hearts. They might be saying it out loud. Where is the Lord? What aren't they doing? What aren't they doing? They're not seeking the Lord properly, are they? They're not seeking the will of the Lord. What are they doing? They're questioning. They're questioning in a wrong way, questioning the ways of God. Verse 7, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? Okay, so what weren't they doing? The priests were not seeking the Lord. And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Now, what do we know profits? The word of God is profitable. Isn't that what the scripture says? It's profitable. Profitable. So we cannot be people that walk after things that do not profit. You see, this was a terrible situation. The priests weren't seeking the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know about his ways. The pastors were transgressing. The prophets were prophesying falsely. People were walking after things that do not profit. Verse 9. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Is God giving them another opportunity? He is, isn't he? He's a very merciful God. People can be far from him, and yet he's still showing his mercy, still extending his hand out in mercy. I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Now, the world has a certain glitter to it. There's a certain pleasure to sin as well. It has a certain glitter and glamour to it. But it doesn't profit. Why? Because over the world is a spiritual being called Satan, who is called the God, little g, of this world. The God of this world, the spiritual ruler of this fallen world. Now, he is not out. He is not out to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He is out to propagate his will. His will is not God's will. His will is for curse, death, destruction. And we see all of that all around us. So hath a nation changed their gods which are yet not gods? Many types of gods around it. There's the movie gods, the rock gods, the sports gods. All types of gods. Okay? Idols. Even hear people calling them idols. Now they might think, oh, it's just a word. But it's a spiritual indication. Hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now, water is symbolic of the Word of God, the washing of the water of the Word of God. Okay, we know that from Ephesians 5. And what we see here is that people have forsaken the Word, forsaken the Lord, and hewn themselves out cisterns, that is, other things, to try and hold their own doctrines, but it's not what the Lord wants. God wants us to be willing in the day of his power. He is willing to teach us, teach our hands to war, our fingers to fight. He's willing for us to have blessing and strength in our lives. He's wanting us to be people that go forward, not to please ourselves, but to please him. God is good. God is good. But there is a great thing happening in our land today where there has been a substitution of God's word for other things that shouldn't be us. And I pray that today you make a decision. You say, Lord, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to hew out cisterns holding places that are not going to hold the Word of God in my life. I'm not going to go my own way, in other words. I'm going to go your way, Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your word, the precious word that reveals to us your will. Lord, I pray that every one of us, you deal with us, and where we haven't been willing, Lord, don't give up on us, we ask, but show us your way, reveal to us in the name of Jesus. And we desire to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives individually, in our church, and in this city. And we ask that you show us each individually, our part in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.